and welcome back to Thornvale. It is time for a new arc, and I have, again, something interesting planned. Something special. This is going to be the start of something new.
More interesting than the last arc?
Squonk! Squonk!
Oh, you guys are just gonna like yell like an obsessed goose until I give you a squonk.
Squonk!
Yep. Yeah.
Why did you put that idea into her head? You knew she was gonna do it.
I'm gonna do it all the time now.
Yeah, for sure. Before we get started, I do want to invite everyone to join us over on the Cast Junkie Discord server, where we have our wonderful home over there, where we like to hang out with people and talk to them. And now we have been playing these, like, games with the dice roller in there. There's
yes.
this, like, dice roller thing. So we've been... Hannah, you want to tell us what the games are each day? There's different days for the games.
So we have Blackjack Mondays, where we're still rolling two six-sided dice, but we're trying to get as close as we can to 21 without going over. And then on Tuesday...
Collectively as a group.
As a group. And on Tuesday, we have Exploding Dice Tuesday, where, again, it's 2d6, but if you roll a 6, you get to re-roll that and add it on. So it's like acing in Westweird. And then on Wednesday, we generate a random number 1 through 100, and we try to hit that random number. And on Thursdays... Hasn't happened yet since we started. It's harder than it sounds.
It's much harder than it sounds. I've gotten very
on
close.
Thursday, we just roll D20s, so it's like D20 Thursday. And Friday, everyone just gets a +5 to their straight 2D6 rolls to make sure that
Friday
is a good day.
Because it's Friday. Yeah. So it's just fun. We just roll it to see, we're like, how's our day gonna go? I rolled a 3, and now we have to replace our heating pump in our house. It's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Maybe you don't want to know, but...
the dice gods are in collusion with the
universe. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun on the Discord, and we highly recommend everyone come join us over there, because, like, it's just really fun to get to, like, build that community. Like, we've had a lot of new people come in recently, and that's always really entertaining.
Yeah, like, our last Blackjack Monday was really popular. We had a bunch of people trying to roll to try and hit 21. It was great.
Yeah, it was really fun. And I'm actually going to do something that I haven't done in, like, forever, and I don't know who I haven't done yet, so I'm just going to read all of the names of our current patrons, because I'm supposed to read them on the show, and I have forgotten for a while, because I used to do them on the mid-rolls, but I haven't done a mid-roll in a while, so I'm just going to read all of you, so one moment, please. Fred and Lee Brian. Brian? Brian. I spelled that right. Cool. Is that your family, Wesley?
It sounds like Mom has actually joined, as she said she would do. So, yeah.
Aww,
if that's
so
your
sweet.
Family, tell them they're supposed to get a T-shirt, and they haven't given me their they haven't given me their
info.
Address.
Okay. Well, see, I have their address, so I can, you know,
cool.
You just send it to me, and I'll make sure they get it.
Okay. Curtis P. Rummel, Cheyenne Bramwell.
That's my dad.
Yes, yeah, Curtis, yes. Daniel Nichols, Girin or Alpha Ginger. I don't know if it's Garin or Girin. Faye Oz, Abe Klein, Rob Porter, Lewis Kerrigan, Dan White, Valerie Gray, Tiffany, Eric Segerstrom, Daniel Ginger Goodson, Jermaine Woods, The Crit Show. Hello, friends. Sarah Maccabee, Nikki Richardson, and Chris Martin. So that is all of our current patrons. Thank you guys, like, a lot, because we love you all. And we thank you an immense amount. The show is so much better because of you. We're able to get more artwork, and we're able to get, you know, more stuff and do more cool things. And it's just all because of you guys. So I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's... awesome. It always blows my mind.
Alrighty. So I think that's about enough of that. If you want to join us on Patreon, you can search patreon.com/Thornvale. I think we all know what happened last time on Thornvale. We haven't been doing the last time segments on the first episode of an arc, but a lot happened.
Many things happened.
Like a lot happened in the last arc. And I think we're going to kind of use this time here to, like, decompress and to deconstruct kind of what happened in this last arc. First of all, I would like to know, it is currently October 30th in Thornvale.
Oh,
you might know. You might know what that means.
Oh boy!
But I want to know. In the last couple of weeks, it's been a couple of weeks. What have you all been doing?
Well, it was just Sammy's birthday.
Oh, was it really?
Her birthday's October 21st. So.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, you know, I think. Oh, gosh. I wasn't prepared for that. But at least Elise would have tried to celebrate.
Yeah, I don't think Sammy's very interested in that at this point in time.
Yeah.
She probably didn't even know it was her birthday.
I think, Sammy, you wake up one morning and you open up your door and you look down and there is a small cupcake sitting on the floor in front of your room.
Oh, I'll pick it up and take it. And then maybe realize that it's my birthday.
There's a little note sitting underneath of the cupcake.
What does it say?
The note has the words "from Oliver" written on the front of it.
No!
Sammy quickly just like shoves the note in her pocket and doesn't look at it very long, but still eats the cupcake.
Does she look at the note at all? Like, does she take the time to read it?
Yeah, she would probably read it, and then as soon as she sees it's from Oliver, she just, like, shoves it in her pocket.
Okay. So do you want to know what it says?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So the note reads, "Hi, Sammy. Elise told me it was your birthday, so I wanted to get you a little something. You haven't been messaging me, so I thought I would give you my number again just in case." And it has his number written on the bottom of the card.
Oh my gosh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so Sammy like definitely reads it very quickly and then just shoves it in her pocket.
You're not improving your chances here.
Ooh. You know.
Oh man.
She's sad right now, okay?
Well, I know that.
She has the big sad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Henry.
Yes.
I think it's probably about a week before Halloween.
Ah.
And you get a text message on your phone.
And who is this message from?
It's from River.
Of course it is. All right. And what does the message say?
Do you have a car?
Then I, you know, he does not believe in telling untruths, so he responds with, "No, I do not have a car."
You receive bummer.
And he responds, "For what reason would I need a car?"
She says, "Well, there is a drive-in theater on the way to the Big Gator Swamp. It's right outside of the swamp. In this old abandoned building, they're putting up this drive-in theater, and well, you can't get in without a car, but they're showing Halloween classics all the way from the week before Halloween through Halloween night."
And I think internally he's thinking over this, and he's thinking, "Oh, that could be actually kind of fun to go to actually go around on a night like Halloween or similar to Halloween without having to worry about, oh yeah, what if one of these actually, you know, there's actually a creature or something." But he's thinking it over, and he still has the permit, but he does not have his own car, so I think he responds, "I might have an idea. I'll let you know as soon as I can."
Alright. What is Henry's idea?
Well, he doesn't really want to ask Stanley to, like, drive him to this possible hangout with River, because he knows that's going to instill tons of questions, and we know how the initial introduction worked out.
Instill tons of questions.
Yes. improper use of phrase. Understatement. Apologies, but
no, I love it. I love
it. Yeah,
continue.
It's just an understatement. That's all.
I mean, considering that the reaction was, oh, you have friends. I don't want him anywhere near. So I think he's trying to think of some way, some explanation that would allow Stanley to a credible explanation as to why Stanley might surrender his vehicle for a night. And so,
so how does this conversation happen? I want you to roleplay through this.
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay.
Can I ask one question because I'm a little bit confused?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought with a learner's permit you need to have an adult in
you
the
do.
Vehicle. Okay.
Oh, is that actually sure. Okay. Is that actually yeah. how it yeah. works? Okay. Okay.
Yes.
So see, you this would is be what breaking I, oh, the law.
Oh, you dropped the license.
See, here's the
thing. I forgot. You don't have one.
See, that's the thing. I don't have one, so I don't have to remember these things. So,
yes. Okay. But it's entirely possible that Henry might also not know that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
So I want to know how this
or
conversation
goes. Or he knows
and
he's asking anyways.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's gonna is. I think just soon after that he goes searching for Stanley. And where does he find Stanley?
I think you find Stanley. It's probably maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you find Stanley sitting on the around the island in the middle of his kitchen. He actually has a whiskey on the table in front of him.
Okay. I think he approaches a bit warily because, you know, he sees the drink, so he doesn't know what sort of frame of mind Stanley might be in at this moment. But I think he sort of kind of slides into the chair across the table, and he kind of he knocks on the countertop like, "Hey, Uncle Stanley?"
Yeah, he looks up at you without moving his head.
And I think he pulls back a little bit. He's like, "Are you okay?"
"I'm okay, Henry."
Uh-huh. And he's just watching him and how deep is he at this point? Is this like a first drink or has he been going at it for a while?
It doesn't look like he's been there for too long.
Okay, because his reaction would be different if he shows up to have this serious conversation and he can't even, you know, he can't even string two words together or something. He's like, I had something I wanted to ask about, would be sort of a favor, but I...
Shoot.
Well, I heard there's like a drive-in pop-up theater that's been set up over by the swamp, actually just outside of it, I suppose, and it was I had a message from a friend of mine from school who, well, they, you know, they'll be showing these old Halloween movies and they wanted me to come along. And it's of course it's the drive-in, so.
Is it your same one from a few weeks ago?
Yes, and he's looking at him like really warily because he's remembering.
Chief's daughter.
Yes.
All right. You need me to drive you out there or?
I think he puts his hands up like really defensively. He's like, no. I mean, I realize this might be bending the rules a little, but I mean, I got the permit and I mean, I promise I won't put a scratch on it.
You want to borrow my car?
I mean...
To go out with the chief of police daughter illegally.
Going, I never said going out. You said going out. That's not what this is, okay? There is a
You are not staying in, so you are going out, Henry. I want you to roll manipulate someone.
Oh my gosh. If this works. Okay.
Oh, Henry.
But I think it's terribly in character that he would ask this.
No, I think you're correct.
Oh, no,
I just
it is.
See what
but...
He doesn't think it's a problem. He thinks he's an adult.
Well, I mean, considering yes. all the nonsense he has been through, yes, actually. Or at least something approximately.
He's more than most
He's been
kids
through a lot.
Age.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's allowed to fire a grenade launcher, but he can't drive a car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like not that's, being that's... able to rent a car until you're 26. It makes no sense.
It's exactly. Dumb. It's can, so dumb.
You can fight for your country. You can drink. You can vote. But you can't rent
but
a car.
But you can't rent
like,
a car.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, that makes no okay. sense.
That is a 9. I have mixed success.
I think Stanley just kind of stares at you for a minute or two. And he's just quiet. And he crosses his arms and he leans back. And you just see just the smallest hint of a smile on his face. And then he reaches into his pocket and pulls out some keys and hands it to you.
If you so much as put the tiniest scratch on this car, or worse, if you get caught, you'll never drive it again.
And I think Henry is, despite what he told him, he's just surprised that he got the keys into his hand at all. He was like, I think he was beginning it with a kind of, well, I might as well try, but not likely to work, but I might as well, and I'll have to figure out something else. And he actually gave him the keys. So I think he looks up at him and he, well, actually not looks up. They're both still sitting there. And he says, "No, I get it. I really do. You know, if anything happens to your car, you
not
know,
not one scratch.
No, of course, yeah, I got it. I mean, I'll take every precaution. Mm-hmm."
What is Henry's favorite old Halloween movie?
Old Halloween movie. Okay, are we talking like black and white era or just older Halloween classic?
Whatever you want.
Mm.
What do you think Henry would pick out?
Well, I already established that he really doesn't like Hocus Pocus because he thinks that's a really weird movie. But, let's see.
So
calling
uncultured.
Hocus Pocus old might make some people angry.
Like, see, like me?
See, I'm saying that Hocus Pocus in any case is knocked out already because I've already said that he would think about
also this. Henry is 15 and definitely would not have been alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
When Hocus Pocus was super popular.
That might be old for him, but
I think because it is a newer one and it is also terribly cool. I think he derives some form of enjoyment out of the overly corny movies. So I think, and this one is more like has moments of corniness, but I think he would have picked does anyone remember the version of Van Helsing that's got Kate Beckinsale and Hugh Jackman in it?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is definitely corny enough to be playing on a Halloween night at a drive-in theater in Thornvale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'd go in for the Hugh Jackman Van Helsing.
I actually have a PS2 game for that movie.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that is playing on a Wednesday night of this year for the Halloween specials. It's been there as a movie every single night, but I think that's the one that you guys pick out. And so I think River tells you to pick her up at her house.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, there's no real way I could explain that one away, so... I'm just gonna have to bite the bullet. Yep, I'm going. He's
okay.
Going.
So you arrive in front of River's house. She lives on East Thornvale, actually. It's a pretty nice little house here. It's a like two-story, very typical suburban house.
Mm-hmm.
What do? You pull into the driveway.
Yeah. I think he steps out and he, and as he's walking up towards the front, he's kind of under his breath. He's rehearsing things like, you know, how do I introduce myself? Mr. Hanscom, Sheriff Hanscom. And he's trying to organize it before the door opens because he
does
he
Henry remember that he's met the chief before?
Yes.
Does Wesley remember he's met the chief before?
Yes. But he's trying to organize because this is a different the whole dynamic here is
correct.
Very, very different. So he's not even and just remind me, I recall that my first meeting with the chief was not a really great one, but please remind me exactly what, because I mean I'm seeing pieces, but the whole picture I can't see. I know I met him and it wasn't good, but I can't remember what all went down exactly.
I don't think it was that bad.
Yeah,
I think
it
you
was
guys
fine.
Like
it was just awkward because we knocked him out on his desk. Afterwards, like wiped his memory.
Which he does, but in the memory.
Oh wait, we wiped his memory, so he doesn't remember us.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Did you guys wipe it that far back?
Oh.
I mean, we wiped it of everything in the office.
So yeah, he actually wouldn't know who you are.
Us, so he wouldn't know who I am. Okay.
Because
he wasn't around. He wasn't around other times that Henry ran into the police in the police station. Like
yeah, that's the only time.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, yeah, I guess he wouldn't know who
you're
you are.
You're welcome,
then.
Wesley.
Yeah.
Continue right. on, my
Otherwise,
friend.
That would have been very awkward because he would have associated you with the FBI.
Aren't you that FBI trainee? Yeah, totally, I am.
Yeah.
Then he steps up and he will. Is it a door knocker or a doorbell?
It's a doorbell.
Okay, doorbell. I'm fine. He will press the doorbell and he will wait there.
Okay, yeah, you press the doorbell in a couple of seconds. Later, the door opens up and you see River dressed in all black with her hair actually dyed in like black streaks over the green that she had it previously. And she is standing there and she just says, "Hey, Henry."
Hi. Nice do you got. The colors there. That's, wow.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was... It was time for a change.
Yeah, as you see there, he gestures. He gestures to the driveway. He's like, yeah, see, I managed to pick up a ride, so.
I see that, yeah. Yeah, well, if you're ready. And she kind of pauses as she feels a presence behind her.
Oh.
And
oh, no.
Henry, you look up and you see her dad suddenly arrives, looming a couple of feet over top of her.
Oh.
And looks down at you. Actually, he looks up at you. He's shorter than you are.
but in stature.
Yeah, but he's a somewhat rotund man with arms the size of your head. So.
Oh no! Oh no! You know. I'm the player is laughing at that. Henry is not going to let any amusement onto his onto his expression.
And you see him come up, and he goes, "So you're Henry."
And he clears his throat. He's like, Chief Hanscom, right?
And he says Henson.
Ah, and he's like, I apologize, sir. I've heard your name around, but I of course hadn't officially met you. So, and he kind of puts his hand down towards him to shake.
He raises an eyebrow and then grabs your hand and just crushes it.
I think
he gives you two pumps and then he pulls back and he says, "So, how old are you, son?"
I'm 15 years old, sir. Was that my own again? I messed it up again.
No! You had to be 16 to drive!
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You just told the chief of police that you're not old enough to drive.
And you see River look up and give you... You see River look up and just like look scared for just a second and go... And just like very imperceptibly shake her head, and you see her hand by her side, just like with her thumb, just like jerk it up.
Do I have to run with that, Susanna? That was my own fault.
Yes.
Wow. All right. And yeah, I think if I can regain some semblance here, I would like to think that the initial answer was kind of mumbled. So then if he looks at me and he goes, I'm sorry, speak up. I'm like, 16, sir.
And River goes, yeah, he just turned 16.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm sorry. See, that was my fault. The number
let's
in
just
my
go
head
with it.
Said 15. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's 16 years old, sir.
Right. So you're a sophomore too?
Yes, sir. That's how I met River. He gestures, and it was school, sir.
Right. Well, movie is done by 9 o'clock, and it takes exactly 14 minutes to get back here. No, hang on, they live on East. It takes exactly 34 minutes to get back here, so I want to see you back here at exactly 9:34.
Okay, then I think he's gonna keep the most straight face he can, because this entire scenario is yet another one that he has never had to deal with before. And then he nods. He's like, yes sir, of course.
I just thought about something funny. If Henry actually was like, I'll make sure I'm here by 9:33, sir, he'd be like, then you'd be speeding.
And you see him kind of nod, and then he kind of gently pushes River on the shoulder, and she steps out onto the porch and says, all right, we'll see you later, Dad. Bye. And as she steps away from him, you see he's got his hand just kind of sitting on his sidearm, just staring at you. And he just waves slowly as you walk away.
Okay. I think he turns ahead to the car, and as they're walking away, I think he'll sort of kind of bend down toward River, and he's like, has anyone ever told you your dad is seriously intimidating?
He's the chief of police. It's kind of part of the job.
Well, yeah, I'd heard that before, but I never saw it in person until now.
Yeah, well, you know, he can't really run very fast because he's got this old, like, football injury. So he has to, like, stare people down so they don't run away, so they think they're going to shoot him or something. So it usually works.
It does. I can attest to that fact.
Let's get going. We're going to miss the movie.
All right. Come on. Yeah, so then he survived the dad gauntlet, so at least so far.
Yeah, so you guys arrive, she gives you the directions, and as you pull up to this location, it seems eerily familiar.
Oh my god. Is this like at the entry to the swamp? Is that where they've set this up?
No, they've set it up a few miles down the road from the swamp. In a burned out husk of a building.
Oh no.
No.
Oh boy.
There's a large screen that's been set up in front of this burnt out husk of a building.
Okay. I think as they're pulling up, if River, like, he's looking out ahead, he's looking through the windshield, he doesn't turn his head, but if she's watching his expression, I think he completely forgets that he's trying to keep things secret for just a second, and he, like, his whole expression is just like, no way, that's not, it can't be the same, and he's not saying anything, but his expression gets a little bit, this is.
You okay, Henry?
I mean, I knew it was, I believed you when I said run down, but this, wow, this looks like something serious went down here.
Yeah. Did you not hear about this?
About what? What was it?
It was like a few months ago or weeks, I don't remember, but like a bunch of people, like something blew up in this old house. A bunch of people, the cops think that there were a bunch of people here like having a party. And uh-huh. Something blew up and a bunch of people like died here.
Oh.
They found like 3 bodies in there.
That's right. We didn't do anything about that.
You didn't do anything about that. Oh. Wow.
Oh, no.
Wow.
So one heck of a way to find out something we forgot to do as a party.
Yeah, I think internally, I think Henry actually makes that connection. And he is fighting his own expression so that his, you know, in order to avoid his eyes going huge at the realization of, oh my gosh, we left bodies in there. And he's like, oh no, really, I didn't hear about this. And he's just internally, you know, don't express, you know, inside.
Don't make that
contact. Yeah.
And
So my dad says that the fire department was like totally stumped because they're positive, like, to get it burning that hot, there had to be some kind of, what do they call it? Like an accelerant or whatever, but they can't find anything here. So there's been some people here that think that like there was something weird going on here. So that's why they put the drive-in theater here.
What?
Because it's haunted, you know, because it's Halloween. So
something weird. Well, I mean, in a town like this, are you serious?
And as you say that, she's quiet for a second. And you look over and she's just got the smallest smile on her face. And she says, oh, I don't know. I think you'd be surprised what can be weird around here.
I think he's momentarily struck silent by that answer, because now he's thinking, well, what could she have possibly seen that, oh boy.
As you're kind of sitting there contemplating this, you hear this knock, knock, knock on your door, on your window of your car.
Okay, I turn to look out the window. Who is standing outside the window?
There is a pimple-faced young man standing outside holding bags of popcorn and just, like, shaking it in front of your door.
Ah, okay, he's gonna roll down the window there.
Would you like some popcorn? It's $5 a bag.
Yeah, and then he turns to River. You do popcorn?
Yeah, I like popcorn.
Okay. Yeah, then he's going to, he's gonna take the two bags, and he knows at least base, you know, because he did read up, so he, you know, he's gained some knowledge, not everything,
read up
but
on
he
dating.
Yes, yes. He, of course, you know.
I thought you said this wasn't a date.
That's not. That's. See, that's not. See, that was Hannah, not me. She said date, not me.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you said read up on dating.
Yeah.
You said read up on dating. That's what you said. I didn't say it.
She's trying to. She's trying to.
What
put
does
this
he do,
Hannah?
What does he do?
He will accept the bags, and then he will pull his own wallet and hand over a 10, I think.
Yeah, so you do that, and he hands over the two bags, and you hand one over to her, and she says, oh, thank you. And with that, I think we will leave you there watching the movie as it begins. And I want to ask, Bjorn, what have you been doing?
For the past couple weeks since the Dulahan business?
Yeah.
The way that arc ended for me, I kind of made inroads with Angelina, it seemed like. Like, it seemed like our relationship is maybe a little bit better. I think just in general, he probably would have been checking in with Angelina at least once, in between then and now. And he probably would have checked in with Thor from the agency as well, because he just hasn't had as much need to interact with them. It's mostly been magical stuff he needed help with, so I figured he's just like kind of checking in with his contacts as part of what he's doing. And then he's probably been checking in on Sammy if possible. He might not have had much success and maybe didn't push it too hard, but he would have at least tried to check in on her to see how she's doing.
Okay, Sammy, how would that have gone?
It wouldn't have gone.
It wouldn't have gone? Okay.
Not at all.
She
wow.
has her phone completely turned off. If he would have sent tried to call, it would have just gone straight to voicemail.
Yeah, he probably would have like texted and or called, and if it didn't go through, I think he would have gotten the message and decided to make sure he got a hold of her soon, but he would have given her space to start off with.
So I think it's October 30th now, day before Halloween, and Bjorn, you get a text message from Elise.
Okay.
It says, hey, can we meet?
Oh my.
How did you get this number? No, I'm just...
I think you gave it to her.
So she just said, when can we meet?
Hey, can we meet?
Oh, hey, can we meet? Sorry, okay. He just texts back, yeah, sure, what's going on?
It's just something I need to talk to you about.
And he's just like, yeah, sure, all right, where do you want to meet?
So she tells you that she wants to meet up at her coffee shop.
Okay.
And she gives you a time for probably about maybe lunchtime at, on the 30th.
All right, then Bjorn will do that. He will make sure that he is available and there on time. He'll, you know, make sure that he finishes whatever he's doing, like writing reports or reading books on the beach or, you know, whatever it is, and drive over to West on time.
Yeah. So you meet up, and I think you can see Elisa sitting there with a sandwich and a pot of coffee and two cups in front of her. And she kind of waves as you enter.
Hey, how's it going, Elise?
Not great. I need to talk to you about Sammy.
Yeah, she's been ignoring my texts and calls. I was giving her space, but was starting to worry.
Yeah, you should be.
I'm about to get exposed.
Do you like coffee?
Yeah, I like coffee.
And she pours you the a pot of coffee and kind of gestures to some creamer. And
She pours me a whole pot of coffee?
She pours you a cup of coffee, sorry. She has the pot and she pours you a cup.
She pours a whole pot into it.
You're going to need all this coffee, yeah.
She pours you a cup of coffee.
Okay.
And she points to, like, creamers and sugars that are kind of off to the side.
Bjorn doesn't reach for them.
I didn't think you would.
Yeah.
Ugh, yuck.
And she takes a slow drink of her coffee, and then she says, Sammy's been strange lately. She's not really sleeping or eating or coming out of her room. I don't know. I know she hasn't been messaging Oliver. He's been worried. He keeps messaging me. I don't know. I tried talking to her about it. But I don't think I can understand, you know? I don't think whatever I say is going to get through to her. Mm. I was wondering if maybe you might talk to her. Because, like, she told me about that thing that happened to you.
And Bjorn just kind of, like, raises his eyebrows. And he's like, oh?
And she kind of looks around to make sure no one's looking. She says, the dog thing.
And Bjorn just kind of nods, and he's like, yeah. He looks over at Elise. He's just like, I see what you mean.
Look, I know it wasn't exactly the same thing, but I don't know. Maybe you could understand what she's going through more than anyone else. I think she's just scared.
Well, I've been trying to reach out because, you know, I've been worried about her. So I think you're right. I should probably try and... You know, hopefully she wouldn't ignore me if I knock on her door.
She might, but I
don't think I'm going to just let her, so.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Maybe you shouldn't let her. I don't know. Is it cruel to say that she needs some tough love?
I don't think so.
Oof.
Ooh. Yeah.
That was the name of the episode.
That was the title. That's what I was laughing.
It
was the
dumb
love title.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Big oof. Big oof.
Oh, man. Oh.
But yeah, Bjorn just says, yeah, no, I agree. I think that this is definitely the kind of situation where it's probably for her own good that we help her, even if she doesn't want it.
I'm coming back over to my apartment, our apartment. Why don't you come back over with me?
Yeah, definitely.
And maybe you can talk to Sammy.
I can certainly try, but I think I'll succeed too.
All right. So she finishes up her lunch and she clocks out for the day and brings you back over to the apartment. And as you come up to the front door, I think Bjorn, you would look down and notice that there is some kind of strange marking on the ground in front of you that is kind of like burned into what do you call the fuzzy things there in front of doors?
The doormat.
Doormat?
Yeah.
Doormat, I think.
The doormat in front of you.
Okay.
And it's some kind of, it looks to you like some kind of ward, like you've seen Miguel make before.
Can I see if I recognize, like, exactly what it is?
Yeah, go ahead and roll go ahead and roll investigate a mystery, I guess.
Okay. Interesting. Is this Sammy or is it just coincidental that it's a burn mark? That's a 6.
Oh.
Bjorn, you have no idea what this thing is.
All right. So I think he like looks at it at least and kind of files away what it looks like so he can draw it again later for Miguel.
Do you ask Elise about it at all?
Actually, you know what? He probably would. Yeah. He would probably just look down at it and not really recognize what it is. And you just say, kind of point at it and just say, you know what that is?
Yeah. Sammy said it's a ward to ward out witches.
Oh.
It's supposed to like stop witches from being able to go over it. She says she put it there to keep herself inside.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Do you see why I brought you here?
Yeah, that's not good. Real quick, just off the top of Bjorn's head, does he think that something like that would actually work on Sammy? Does she count as a witch now?
Great question.
Roll straight sharp for me.
Straight sharp, okay. That's a 10.
Most likely not, no.
Because she's not actually a witch?
No.
Okay.
It would stop Jadis, but it wouldn't stop Sammy.
Okay.
And it would probably, considering they're basically the same person at the moment, it would probably tickle, but it probably wouldn't stop Sammy, because Sammy's not a witch.
This brings up another question entirely. If a witch placed an anti-witch ward, would it work on herself?
No.
The real questions.
Yeah.
They're not made to work on people.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, so Bjorn's just like, yeah, that's not good. I'm glad that you reached out to me because I was starting to worry and it looks like I was right to worry.
So she unlocks the door and brings you inside, and she brings you over to Sammy's door, which is locked.
Okay.
And she kind of puts her hand on your shoulder and says, good luck, and then walks away towards the kitchen.
Bust the door.
Bjorn's just going to stand out there outside the door, kind of collecting himself and thinking about, you know, running through what he wants to say. And then he just kind of lifts his head up and looks at the door. And just knocks on it really loud to test and see what's going to happen first.
I think Sammy obviously can hear people through the door. So she doesn't say anything.
Well, we weren't talking right outside her door, though. So, well, maybe. Yeah.
But Elise might have
heard. You might have heard Elise say good luck.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think she's just waiting to see who it is. She doesn't say anything.
She doesn't say anything? Okay. Mm-mm. So Bjorn hears no response. And then he just says, he kind of clears his throat really loudly and obviously. And he just says, it's Bjorn, Sammy. I'm here to check in on you since you're not answering my calls or my texts.
I'm fine.
I think we both know that's not true, Sammy.
I'm busy. Come back. Can you come back later?
Busy with what, Sammy?
Research. I'm busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We both know that I could get through this door if I really wanted to, and I don't want to do that to your apartment that you're paying for, so how about we just make this easy and we just talk?
You're gonna bust down my door. You're really gonna do that.
Yes.
And I think you can see Elise looking from the kitchen, like, a little nervous.
And Bjorn just kind of, like, waves his hand and just kind of makes, like, a money symbol with his hand, you know, like, rubbing his fingers together. He just points at himself, trying to indicate that he'd pay for it if he actually did have to do it.
Okay.
Sammy doesn't say anything else. She's just, like, sitting there. I think she knows that Bjorn won't, like, will actually follow through, and so she quickly, like, takes a blanket off of her bed and throws it over stuff in the corner of her room.
Oh.
Stuff in the corner of her room. Okay.
Okay.
So she does that.
Yep.
Is that all she does?
Yeah, she doesn't say anything.
Did she open the door?
No.
Oh, man. Well, then she wants a busted
door. I don't think she would.
Bjorn tries the handle just to be sure. I mean, you said it was locked, though, right?
Yeah. I think if she hears him trying the door again, she'll go over and, like, unlock it and open it, like, just a crack.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Can we talk, Sammy? I think we really need to talk.
Okay, we can talk from here.
Then he raises his eyebrows and kind of like looks down over the tops of his glasses at her. And he says, you're really going to make me stand out here and talk to you, Sammy?
She like sighs and opens the door all the way.
Okay. What is it? What does it look like in there?
What does Bjorn see when you open the door?
Yeah, so what you see is that she has been doing research, a lot of research, on witches and witch circles and anything she could find to try and figure out how to get the shard out of her chest. And her walls are just plastered in, like, pictures and photos and research, like, papers of information are just taped all over her walls. And there's, like, sticky notes with, like, notes that she's written. And there's even, like, string connecting certain, like, photos and stuff. So it looks like the full-blown, like, Charlie Day, like, conspiracy theory wall.
Yeah.
And, nice. Like, all of her walls look like that.
If she's been here the whole time, then how exactly has she been researching it if all the lore books are at the...
has the internet.
Yeah, she has the internet. Yeah.
Okay, fair. All right.
And Amazon.
All right.
So that's what I see.
Yes.
Would the blanket over stuff in the corner be obvious just because I have no clue what it is or what it would be? Like, would it stand out to me, you think, or no?
Can roll for it.
Yeah.
Do you take notice of this mysterious blanket?
What am I going to roll for this?
Roll read a bad situation.
That's a 6.
Oh.
And I leveled up.
No, I don't think Bjorn notices the blanket. He's too busy looking at everything else.
Yeah. I think he's probably just taken like by surprise by just the level of crazy research that she's been doing. I am, by the way, my level up is going to be to advance 2 more basic moves. I already leveled up kick some ass and act under pressure. I'm now going to level up protect someone and read a bad situation.
I think after Sammy opens the door, she's like, I told you I was doing research. And you also notice that she has new tattoos on her arms.
Oh, what are those tattoos? Like, what do I see?
They look like wards.
Wards?
Whoa!
Like, actual tattoos, but ward tattoos?
Like similar to that thing you saw out front. Like, obviously, like, magical wards.
Oh, boy.
Correct.
Okay, so I think Bjorn is, like, you know, taken by surprise. He walks in and sees this crazy conspiracy theory research room. So I think Sammy just kind of sees him like looking around the room and his eyebrows are just kind of slowly raising up and then they kind of settle back down. And he looks at her and sees the tattoos on her arms. And he's just like, you know, I noticed one of those on your doormat outside. You want to talk about that? What's going on?
It's just to make sure I can't go anywhere. Like if Jadis takes over.
If Jadis takes over.
Yeah. She was in control of my body before.
Real quick, Susanna, from my roll earlier when I rolled to see if they would it work if Jadis took control of Sammy's body, or would it still be Sammy who's not actually a witch, so it wouldn't work?
You are not sure.
I'm not sure. Okay. Even with a 10 from earlier?
Yeah.
Okay. So Bjorn just says... Well, he doesn't say something. He sighs first. He's just like, Sammy, you can't be scared. You just can't be scared your whole life of things like this. I mean, this is kind of crazy. You do realize that, right?
I know what it looks like. There's a reason I haven't been talking to anyone. I know what it looks like, but it's not like that. I mean... if Jadis takes control of me, it's not just me or you guys that's at risk. It's everyone.
I get it. I completely understand what you mean by that. I know what it's like to be the monster. And it's not...
I think Sammy kind of, like, turns away from you at that. she stiffens up.
But then he just kind of, like, crosses his arms, and he's just kind of sitting there looking around and looking at her, and then he just says, but at the same time, you have a support structure for this kind of thing, Sammy. You have people who care about you who can help you with this kind of thing. I mean, just thinking back to when I was a werewolf, I mean, you guys got me through it. You stopped me. You and Henry stopped me, not me. This, for you, it's a bit different. I mean, you were fine until you got whatever happened into the Dullahan, you know? You were fine, as far as I'm aware, and you were in control of it. But you need help for this kind of thing. It sucks not being yourself, you know? I get it. But we can help you through it. You need to lean on us in this kind of thing, Sammy.
You guys, the thing is, Jadis knows about you guys. She knows what you're capable of. She gave you guys the runaround, all of us the runaround, me included. And the only reason we were able to find her is because my mom was there with blood that was related to my body. If that wasn't there, she would have been gone. This is different. It's different.
That's fair, but we were also unprepared because we didn't know what was going on. And he kind of looks at her, not too harshly, but he does look right at her when he's saying that. And you have to realize, Sammy, that we beat her once when we were prepared. I know it's different now, her taking over your body potentially, but she couldn't beat us then. And I don't think she can beat us now, especially if we know what's going on and we're prepared for it now. Yeah, she gave us the one, you know, she gave us the runaround, but now we're expecting it. And I don't think that she's going to find any success if she somehow takes control again. Which I don't think we're going to let happen if you lean on us like you need to.
I think she, like, looks at you and, like starts looking around at, like, all the research on the walls. And she's like, but we can't be 100% sure until this thing is out of me. That's what all this is.
I agree.
To figure out how to get out.
I agree. But when have we ever been 100% sure about anything?
Not very often. But this is...
And he kind of smirks just a little bit.
Yeah. And she's like, but again, this is just, it's different.
I get it. I mean, you're talking to the person who probably gets it the most, that it's different when you can't stop yourself in this kind of thing. But again, you guys got me through that. You and Henry and Stanley and Miguel are the reason that I'm still here myself. So I think you need to rely on us, Sammy. You really need us there to help you through this right now.
I think Sammy just takes, like, a shaky breath and sits down, like, on the edge of her bed. She's like, I'm not ready to put you guys in danger again. I can't do that.
I mean, and he kind of chuckles a little bit, and he just says, I think we put ourselves in enough danger as it is that I think a little bit more won't hurt too much. And I know it's different, but honestly, we can handle it. And we need to handle it for you right now.
I think she just, like, gives, like, a little shrug and doesn't say anything.
And he's just like, it's okay. You know, it's why I'm here. I just wanted to talk to you again and make sure you're okay. But maybe it's something we could promise to work on, you know, together instead of alone.
I'll try. No guarantees.
You know, we want to help you too. I mean, I think more minds are better than one when it comes to research.
I guess. She, like, starts, like, looking, like, scuffing her foot against the floor.
Yeah. And then he kind of just sits there and watches for a second and sees her, you know, kind of, I don't know if it's embarrassed or not. And he's just kind of trying to get a read. And he just says, so, you know, enough about that. I hope you know by now that we'll always be there for you, and having us will hopefully help. But I've heard that you're not talking to Oliver either. I mean, what's up with that?
She like kind of like winces when you say his name.
Yeah, you can see Bjorn looks a little bit uncomfortable, like he's kind of getting out of his comfort zone with this, but he's just like, yeah, what's up with that? And does she say anything?
No. She doesn't say anything. She just kind of winces and just keeps looking at the ground.
And he goes for it and he just says, have you two talked after, and then, no, it's rough, but, you know, have you?
She shakes her head.
And he sighs, and he just says, it's not my place, but I really think it would be good for you to do that. It's not the same thing, but when I was a werewolf and I was, you know, locked up because I couldn't control myself and I was worried about hurting people, you know, talking to all of you, you know, visiting me, like, the talking helped. And even though I had hurt people, it helped me realize that I didn't have to give in to that again. And like I said, it's not the same situation, but I think of all people, he's the one who would help you with that piece of it the best.
She just sighs and she's like, I hurt him and I'm not ready to hurt people again.
And Bjorn just kind of nods and he says, I get it, you know, maybe you need a little bit more time alone, you know, but I really think you at least need to start talking to people, even if it's not in person. Just, you know, let us help you.
Two very opposite feelings happening at the same time. Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. He's trying to wean her off of the being alone, but not.
Well, I know,
cutting the cord.
See, I know it's you two, but then I'm just thinking of, I think this was mentioned as happening on a different day, but, you know, we go from, you know, potential happy-go-lucky Halloween movie night to this.
Espresso
yeah,
depresso.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So how does the scene end?
I don't know. Sammy's feeling very kind of, like, awkward. I think she kind of looks up at you and is like, how? What did Elise tell you?
He just like kind of looks at Sammy and just says, well, she said that you weren't eating, you weren't sleeping, you weren't coming out of your room. You probably weren't messaging Oliver because he was contacting her. So, yeah, it seemed pretty bad. And she kind of seemed, you know, desperate for help because she wasn't getting through. She thought that I might be able to get through to you, all things considered. She thought I might get it the best.
Gotcha. Okay. Like, she's really, like, a little awkward that Elise went and, like, told you everything.
Yeah.
My best friend tattled on me. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat a dead horse and reiterate a point here, Sammy. We can help you. You need... Maybe I shouldn't say it that way. You don't need to do anything. It's your choice. But I think that you would really do you some good to come to your friends in a time of need like this. You know, it doesn't have to be right away. It doesn't have to be full force, but you need to slowly start asking us to help you through this. That's how you get through these kinds of things. You know, we can give you the support you need while you work through this and we help you work through this and figure out what's going on. I mean, I think I would hope that you know by now that we'd follow you to whatever it is you need to do to get rid of this thing once you find out what that is. You know, we want you to be okay again. And even if it takes time, I mean, we'll be there to do it.
And I think she just, like, nods slowly and is like, I know, I'm... I'm sorry, it's... I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you might remember, you know, I didn't come out for a good while either, so... It makes sense, you know, it's not crazy, necessarily, as he looks around the room, what you're doing, but...
I think Sammy might actually chuckle a little bit.
yeah, but, you know, everything in moderation. I think there's only so much of shutting yourself in that you can do before you start to go down that hole too far. I personally don't know exactly, he's considering if he should say this or not. But he decides to go for it because he likes ripping band-aids off.
Uh-oh.
He says, I don't know exactly how well these wards are going to do. I mean...
She frowns.
You're not actually a witch, so they might work, but they might not. I mean...
But they might.
But just because it might work, is that the reason to shut yourself away the rest of your life?
It's a way for me to protect everyone. It's a way for me to keep Jadis from taking over.
Are these wards really stopping Jadis from taking over, or are they just stopping you from dealing with it?
I don't know. I'm trying... whatever I find, I'm just gonna add it on and hope it works. I don't know.
These wards don't do anything to stop the problem, Sammy. They're just a band-aid.
I gotta try. I told you Sammy has the big sad...
Yeah, she is the big sad.
And then he snaps and throws her over his shoulder and
no.
carries her out.
This yeah. episode should be called Mean Dad and the Big Sad.
Mean Dad and the Big Sad.
Yes, or just Espresso Depresso. Because there's coffee depresso. And now there's Depresso.
That's funny. So yeah, Bjorn just says... I'm not saying that trying the wards is a bad idea. I'm saying that shutting yourself inside and never coming out is not a good idea.
I know. Like I said, maybe I'll be ready soon. I'm just not ready yet.
Okay. Well, I think that I've done what I wanted to do. I just wanted to check in on you and make sure you were okay. All I can say is just... Please reach out to us, you know, just don't cut us off. Let us be with you through this, okay?
I think she just, like, lets out, like, a long sigh, and she says, all right, I'll plug my phone back in at least.
And, again, I'm not going to tell you what to do or how to live your life, but I really think you need to talk to Oliver about things, too. I think
again.
That'll...
Ooh.
And he just keeps plowing through it. He just says, I think that'll be more good than bad. I think you both might need it right now. Just trust me on this, okay?
I'll think about it.
I had a really hard time facing you two for a while, so just trust me. It's better to talk about it.
I'll think about it. She says
yeah,
again.
It's your choice. Yeah. And then he says, well, sure that's probably all you'd like to see of me today. And he kind of smirks. So I'll just see myself out, I guess.
I think she just, like, awkwardly, like, scratches the back of her head. And she's still, like, looking at the floor. And she's like, thanks for stopping in.
Of course. It's what friends do, right?
Yeah, it is.
All right, well, I'll leave you to it. And he walks out and shuts the door behind him.
So?
I have a question.
Yes?
Does he hear it locked behind him or no?
Probably yes.
Okay.
Darn it. She hasn't let Elise see her room.
Okay.
Unless she saw it while this conversation was going on, she's been keeping it as, like, closed off as possible.
I think Bjorn probably would have, like, shut the door behind him when we were having the conversation. I think he would have tried to keep it somewhat private because, you know, read the room kind of thing, literally.
Yeah. Literally read the room.
Except for the very obvious blanket in the corner.
Yeah.
Which then I missed. Do you always tell people what's under the blanket, or should I keep that for later?
think you can keep it for later.
Okay.
So yeah, Bjorn leaves the room. What's going on?
So Sammy, do you turn your phone back on?
Oh.
It's about to blow
yes.
up.
She said she was going to, so she plugs it in and charges it back up.
When you turn your phone back on again, you have about 50 unread messages from Oliver.
Oh boy.
Sammy suddenly feels very anxious and her palms get sweaty. I think she scrolls through other things for a little bit, like social media. And then eventually she's like, I just gotta rip the band-aid off, like Bjorn said. And she goes back to the text to read through them.
So you read through the text and start from the top. And for the first couple of texts, it's, are you okay? Hey, can we talk? I need to talk to you. Stop hiding from me. I'm not mad at you. And then the texts kind of peter off. For a couple of days, you don't get any texts. And then you get one text a day, starting with a couple of, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it's, I still love you, Sammy. Just every day.
What? Wow. Okay. He,
my heart.
Wow.
And that's where we're going to leave it for this week.
Oh, no.
Oh boy.
Ow. Oh. I'm in pain.